Well, I want to talk to you today about intercessory prayer, Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm glad you're here. You know, thank God for faith. Thank God for faith. All day yesterday in my kitchen, I just danced round and round. Where would we be without faith, without knowing we live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who's above all God? This I declare, He's my refuge. He's my place of safety. He's my God, and I'm trusting in Him. And to know that we have faith, that we have something to stand on, something to hold fast to.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Oh, He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, it took me a long time to realize He didn't mean He was just watching.
Jesus.
Somehow that's the concept I had. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So I thought, well, He's aware. No, that's not what that means. It means He's working. He's not a watching God. He's a working God. He's a working God, and He works with His people, and He's protected you, and He's spared your life, and He'll reconstruct your life, and thank God for that. Thank God, thank God. Well, let's talk about other people, and let's talk about the work of the Lord just a minute. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, you're probably familiar with. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want you to see the expression, praying always with all prayer. The translators say praying always with all kinds of prayer. One says every kind of prayer, every kind of entreaty, all kinds of prayer. Now, I was raised in the denominational church. I was saved when I was 9 years old, been in church all my life, loved church. I was not one of those teenagers who was anxious to escape. I was glad to be here, and I planned to stay. And I set my faith for my family. They're in the house of God. They're raised in the house of God, and they plan to stay.
Yeah.
Amen and amen. Do you believe that? You know, we need to quit entertaining doubt. And plant our faith. If you have a doubt, rebuke it in Jesus' name and concentrate on what God wants to do. Well, it says there are all kinds of prayer. The only thing I knew about prayer until I was in my 30s was we would call on brother so-and-so and he'd pray over the offering. Then we'd call on another brother and he'd pray and dismiss the service. That was my sum total. I'm sure other things were going on, but I didn't know anything about them. That was my sum total, my knowledge of prayer. And then occasionally we'd have a revival meeting and we'd have a group prayer, but the same thing happened. The different brothers would pray. And if you listen long enough, you could pray their same prayer because we use the same religious expressions. Just like when you pray over your food, you say, Lord, sanctify this food in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 people out of 10, that's what they say. And so that's all I knew was the religious order of prayer. But you know, there's a lot more to prayer in religious order. Now, this scripture says there are all kinds of prayer. You know, when we were in the mountains, we were going to get apples to bake apple pie. I have a recipe that came from an aunt or an aunt, whichever you say. And it's apple pie baked in a paper bag. I don't know if you know it, but you can put a paper bag in your oven and it won't burn. And when you bake your apple pie in a paper bag by this recipe, it steams the apples. It's wonderful. I'm just telling you, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So I went to the apple orchard, and they had a number of different kinds of apples. I can tell you people like to eat, and so do I, so we'll talk about pie today. I went to the apple orchard, and I asked the man, what kind of apples do I need for pie? And he looked at me like, lady, where'd you come from? I said, well, when they sell pie there. And I said, when you have pie, you make apple bread and the different things they do there. So what kind of apples do they like in the kitchen? They had the wine sap, and they had the John of Gold, and they had the red delicious and the yellow delicious, several other kinds that I wasn't familiar with. And finally, he said, we always use this kind for pie. And he looked at me like, you ought to know that, lady. Well, I didn't have a clue. You know, apples are different. They're different kinds of apples. They have different purposes. And you wouldn't necessarily put a Granny Smith in a pie. You'd have to dump too much sugar to sweeten Granny up. And that's the way it is with a lot of Christians. It takes a lot of sugar to sweeten them up. Well, there are all kinds of prayer, like there are all kinds of apples. And if you're going to bake an apple pie in a paper bag, you've got to have the right kind of apple. Well, we got home with the wine sap apple, and I'm here to tell you wine sap's not it. We ate it all right, but I could tell this wasn't right. This was not the right apple. Well, prayer is not, all prayer is not alike. Prayer is different, like apples are different. There are many kinds of prayer. The scripture says a prayer of faith saves the sick. The prayer of faith is one kind of prayer.
Yes.
It's a specific kind of prayer. It's when you make a request, you want God to change something in your life, to do something for you, to bring something to you. And it says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, that you believe, that you receive. And so it's a prayer that's very self-centered. It's when I have a need or my children have a need, and I take the prayer of faith and I pray that prayer of faith for my family. And it works best in that setting, though it'll work in some dimension for people who don't have any understanding, people who are under your authority, who are young. It always works for your children, but it works best for you. It's a prayer for you, by you, and to you. It's a specific kind of prayer. All prayer is not alike. Now, we're going to talk about intercessory prayer, but I want to set you up so that you'll understand where we're coming from, because if your background is like mine, you thought, well, you just pray. You just say words. No, you got to know what you're doing. You know, you got to have a little knowledge. As my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Right.
And, you know, we were at one dinner, and the man prayed. They called on Mother so-and-so to pray, and he said, Lord, bless this food if it's your will. Now, that was wrong. That was really wrong. And I said to the Lord, you can go ahead and bless mine.
Yeah.
Sanctify it and set apart. So anything in it I shouldn't absorb and digest, it'll pass through my body, and it'll not affect it in any measure. I'm not going Brother So-and-so's prayer. It was wrong.
Yeah.
Now, he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. He wasn't right about praying for the food. You know, all prayer is not alike. You got to have a little knowledge here. The prayer of faith brings something to you. It's a request you make of heaven to change your life, and God answers that prayer. He said, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking doors shall be open unto you. And the next verse I particularly like says, everyone that asks receives.
Yeah.
Now, are you an everyone?
Yes.
That's all it is to it. You are included. Well, there's a prayer of agreement where I go to you and I have a specific quest and I want you to agree with me. I want you to add your faith to mine.
Yes.
Thank God we can join together. The body of Christ, fitly compacted together. Pastor used that expression this morning. It's been on my heart for 2 or 3 weeks. Fitly compacted, joined together. And I could just say, this is what I need. This is what God is dealing with me about. And you come and say, I come into agreement with that. The prayer of agreement that's mentioned in Matthew. It's a specific kind of prayer. Well, in the prayer of agreement, if I'm believing for successful surgery and you're believing for my healing without surgery, then we're not in agreement. The basis of the prayer of agreement is that we really are in agreement. We have the same idea, the same concept. It is just one type of prayer. All prayer is not alike. All apples are not alike. You know, every piece of chicken is not alike. Some say, I like the white meat, I like the dark meat. Well, it's all chicken, but it's not all alike. Well, prayer is not all alike. An intercessory prayer is a specific kind of prayer. Now, there's united prayer, where we're going to gather together and pray about one thing. They united in prayer after Peter and John were released from prison in Acts chapter 3, and they said, Lord, grant with all boldness we may speak your word. Everybody was in agreement. It says, they lifted up their voice. They were in agreement. We're praying about the boldness to carry forth the gospel. We're praying about the signs and wonders that should come through the gospel. It was a specific kind of prayer. It was united prayer. Peter was put in prison later on, and they gathered, the church gathered to pray. They were praying about Peter's imprisonment, his release from prison. It was united prayer. They weren't praying about many different things. They were praying about that one thing. They were united in prayer. It's a specific kind of prayer. The more we know about prayer, the more successful we're going to be. Well, intercessory prayer is a specific kind or type of prayer. Now, it was in vogue for a long time, and still you see touches of it, that intercessory prayer was a catch-all, and all prayer was considered intercessory prayer, but that's not true according to the scripture. Now, intercessory prayer is when you pray for another. It's not like the prayer of faith when you pray for yourself. It's not like the prayer of agreement when we come together and we agree on a specific thing that I need or that you need. It's not like united prayer when we have a particular thing in mind. Intercessory prayer is when I have you on my mind and your need on my mind, and I'm going to stand for what you need. Yep. The finest scriptural example of intercessory prayer is Abraham. Abraham went on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember, three angels came. One was the Lord, and they ate with Abraham, and then they were going on to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah to check it out and see if it was as evil as they thought it was. And God said, can I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? And they decided, no, you can't. Abraham's the friend. He's my covenant friend. I have to tell him. So God explained to him that we are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to check that out, and we may destroy it. And Abraham said, would the Lord of all the earth do right? He's going to intercede on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, here's the interesting thing that so thrills my heart. Nobody in Sodom and Gomorrah asked for prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. You understand that?
Yeah.
They didn't ask for help.
Right.
They didn't send a runner to Abraham and say, we need help. We've sinned against Almighty God. When the angel went and offered to bring Lot out and Lot's family, they wouldn't even come. Lot and his wife and two daughters. And his wife turned around. She changed her mind, chickened outside. She's going back to the city. That was a bad decision on her part. But they didn't ask for prayer. And when God went to rescue Lot and his family, they wouldn't come.
Yeah.
They wouldn't come. Now, what happens when you pray for somebody and they've not asked for prayer and they don't want any help and they don't care what God is doing and they don't like your church? In fact, they don't like any church.
Yeah.
See, and we look at them and we think, well, that's too hard. Well, you know how they are. You know how stubborn they are. You know how self-willed they are. You know how long they've been on drugs. You know how long they've been in trouble. No, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't ask for prayer. They didn't ask for anybody to intercede. It's to stand in somebody's place. And Abraham stood there and he said, will the God of all the earth do right? And he said, if they're 50 righteous. And he said, if they're 45. And then he said, if they're 40, if they're 30, if they're 20. And then he went all the way down to 10. Now, I tell you, this is the Cumbie supposition, but I believe if you've tracked through the scripture, you'll find there were 10 members of Lot's family. And I'm pretty certain he thought all of Lot's family would be interested in rescue. It says Lot had daughters and sons-in-law and sons and daughters-in-law. And if you add all that up, that'd have to be 10 people. And he thought all 10 of those would want to come out and be rescued, but they didn't. The fact that they don't want to be rescued does not affect my prayer life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't care if they don't want to be rescued.
Yes, that's right.
It doesn't affect my stand with God. It doesn't affect the heart of God. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And intercession is based on the love of God. God loves them. And when I join with God, I begin to sense His love. One writer said, and I loved it, he said, the ultimate consciousness of pain is found in God. Do you see that? See, I can only sense so much. Even though I know Wayne well, there are things in his body and in his mind that I will never touch because he's an individual. You know, Siamese twins, they moved together. They recently separated, successfully separated after four surgeons set of Siamese twins from South America, I believe it was. And they always move together. They shift together. They're connected together. And even though they're connected together, they're still individuals. There's still things in one body that are not sensed by the other body. Well, we're going to move together in intercessory prayer. We're going to join with Almighty God, and we're going to sense. He senses all pain. He senses every need. He knows the need. Now, I'm going to begin because I'm joined to Him. It says we are joined to Him in spirit. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You've come to God. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're joined to God in spirit. Then as you intercede, the intercession is successful because you're joined to Him and because you begin to sense what He senses. Oh, how very simple this is. This is so simple, and we've made it so hard. An intercession is not mental. It's not that I decide to pray for brother so-and-so, and then I pray a mental prayer, kind of now lay me down to sleep type prayer.
Yeah.
It's not rote, but it's a sensing in the spirit of what's in the mind and heart of Almighty God.
Yeah.
You know, God was Moses and God were on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. And God said, you know, the people are down there worshiping a calf and they claim that golden calf led them out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. How stupid can you get and still breathe?
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any statues leading anybody anywhere.
That's right.
That was a ridiculous claim.
Yes.
See, the fact that they don't want to be rescued doesn't affect my prayer life. And the fact that they're doing stupid, ridiculous things doesn't affect my prayer life either. I don't care what they're doing. I know the heart of God. I'm joined to God. He that is joined to God. See, when you came into the kingdom, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You're the body of Christ. He's the head, and you're the body. And the head and the body always move together. Wouldn't it be interesting if they didn't?
Yeah.
I'd say to my body, stay in bed at 10 o'clock. I'd say to my head, go into the office.
Yeah.
You know that won't work?
No, it won't.
You're joined together.
Yeah.
You work together. The head and the body. Well, who's the head? The Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm the body. So just like those Siamese twins, they have some things they do together. There's some things God and I do together. Now, when Moses came down from that mountain, he knew in advance what he had faced. And Joshua said, I hear the sound of war. And Moses said, no, it's not the sound of war. He knew the people were worshiping the golden calf. And God said, I'm going to destroy these people. Start over with you, Moses. But Moses, he's going to intercede. It's to stand before Almighty God on behalf of another. It's very much like a lawyer does. If you get in trouble with the law, you need a lawyer. And that lawyer represents you. He doesn't represent himself, but he stands before that judge, and he knows the law. He knows how to defend you. He knows what to say in order for you to be set free. And I'm going to join with Almighty God and sense the pain that he sensed, sense the love of God that's in him is going to now flow through me because he's the head and I'm the body. We're going to work together, and I'm going to represent the need of another.
Yes.
And Moses represented their need. I think that's in Exodus chapter 32. And he said, wait a minute, God, wait just a minute. You brought these people out of Egypt. Do you know what they're going to say in Egypt? They're going to say you did this for mischief. In other words, God was just having a fun day. Lead all these people out, bless them abundantly, and then kill them in the wilderness. Wouldn't that be fun? He said, that's what they're going to say about you. And then he reminded God of his word. And real intercession always begins with the word of the living God. He said, God, you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to lead these people to a promised land. He reminded God of his word.
Yes.
Now, when I go to intercede, I say, God, you said by Jesus' stripes they were healed. And you sent your word to heal them. No weapon formed against them will prosper. We always begin to intercede. We begin to stand not for your own need, but for the need of another. We always begin with the word of the living God.
Yes.
We begin by declaring God his word. We say, God, you said you're not willing that any should perish. You said you love the world and you gave your only begotten son for the world. We begin with the word of the living God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank God. You know, twins often, they can live in different parts of the country, and yet they can sense the need of another. And they'll call and say, I know my sister has a need today. I sense that. There's a unity among twins sometimes that causes them to sense the need of another. Well, if I'm united with God and God knows all pain and God knows all need, and I'm a part of him and I abide in him and his word abides in me, I'm going to begin to sense some needs.
Yes.
Now, more than once, Moses rescued the people. They came to the river. They're going to cross the river into the promised land. They said, no, we're not going. There are giants there. There are walled cities there. Forget them. Not going. They sent out the spies. Only two spies said, we can overcome. Only two spies came into agreement with the word. Now, when I intercede and I sense a need, I have to agree with the word. I can't agree with the person. If I look at the person, I say they've been lost for 25 years. They're not interested in God. They've run a long way from God. They're hard-headed. They're hard-hearted. And I begin to doubt. I begin to waver. But I don't look at them.
Right.
Where they are with God doesn't affect my prayer life.
Yeah.
What ridiculous thing they're doing does not affect my stand with God.
Right.
I stand for what God wants. And I said, God, you said they were healed.
Yes.
You said you wanted them to be saved. You said you would meet their need out of your riches and glory.
That's the truth.
Yes.
That's the truth.
And what they're doing does not affect my words to heaven.
That's
right.
Oh, thank God it doesn't. You know, if you have any doubt, rebuke it. You know, years ago, a lady wanted to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. This was totally new to me. And she asked me to help her. Well, I wasn't the best helper in the world. I didn't know what I was doing, so I let her know I really don't know how to do this. And then I let her know I do know that it's the will of God, but I don't know if you and I can ever accomplish this. And I said, I will lay my hands on you, but I don't know if anything will happen or not. We'll just see. And I put out so much doubt, so much unbelief, talked her right out of it. Laid my hands on her, nothing happened.
Oh,
man. So this is the confidence we have in him. We pray with confidence.
Yeah. Right.
We go because God is great big.
Yeah.
Do you know God is great big?
Yes.
He's great big.
Yes.
He knows how to reach hard-hearted people. He knows how to reach obstinate people. He knows how to people that have run away from him for a long time. He knows how to reach people in need.
Yes, he knows.
He knows how. And my confidence is in his ability. In his ability. Now I begin by praying the word of God. I pray the promises of God. I pray the scripture. And I say, God, this is what you said. That's what Abraham said. Will not the God of all the earth do right? He knew God was a righteous God. Moses said, wait a minute. You promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the second time when they were going to cross the Jordan River and the people refused to go, he said, and God said, I'm going to start all over. I'm blotting these people out. He said, no, wait a minute. You're a long-suffering God. Your mercy endures forever. Oh, because God is so big and he's so interested in need. And I begin with the promise of God. I'm united to God. He's the head, but what am I?
Body.
You know, if you have something in your body, your head knows. If you have something in your head, your body begins to know it. They work together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get on my knees before Almighty God, I begin to sense what's needed for today. I remember years ago, I had a mini vision. I only had two or three in my life. And I saw a gentleman pushing a wheelchair. I saw the gentleman, did not see who was in the wheelchair. I knew him well, and I thought it must be his wife. Well, I knew his wife. I loved his wife with all my heart. I was very concerned, and when I saw the vision, I instantly, like you snap your finger, I knew that she was going to be in an accident, and it was going to cause her to be paralyzed the rest of her life. I was absolutely certain of that. Well, I prayed a little bit here and there. See, God is making me aware of intercession, of what's on his mind, of what's on his heart. Oh, thank God he does.
Yeah.
Well, we prayed a little bit, two or three days, and then my nieces call. They want me to come watch Anne of Green Gables. So we're watching, and Spirit of the Lord began to move. I became so aware. In the spirit, it wasn't mental agony. It was agony, but it was spiritual agony. It was God and I are joined together, and God began to push on behalf of this, I thought, lady, but turned out it was the fellow's father. See, God doesn't tell you everything because you don't need to know everything.
That's
Pentecostals
right.
are far too nosy.
Yes, right.
I'm telling you, they are. I say with as much grace and as nice as I can and as great as love as I can, mind your own business.
Exactly.
But I thought it was her. And God began to move. I thought Anna Green Gables would never end. And the minute it ended, I hugged their neck and I told them, let's get out of here. I have to bow before the Father. See, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, is beginning to push on their behalf. Well, this father fell 3 stories and landed on his back on concrete. In a setting where there's nobody around, anywhere, he's totally alone. He laid there 20 or 30 minutes and got up and drove home.
Jesus.
And I tell you why that happened. Because the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sees ahead and provides, called on an intercessor. An intercessor is one who prays on behalf of another. As certain as Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah and Moses prayed several times for the people of Israel, God will call on you to accomplish something that's on his mind, that's on his heart. Now I can decide I'm going to pray for brother so-and-so. He's lost. He needs to be saved. And that's true. And God wants me to pray for him. And I just make up my mind. I'm praying for him. He's lost, needs to be saved. God said, God, you're not willing that he perish.
That's right.
And you want him to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
And you're a merciful father and you died for him.
Yes. Yeah.
And the intercessor, I'll be the intercessor. And I'll stand in the place of another. And I'll stand in his place. And I said, let's bring him to the throne of grace, that great throne of glory. I don't sense anything at all. It's over. I said, why is it? I don't know. But you got to follow God. Sometimes English is sufficient. Sometimes it's enough. I remember we were ministering to a couple that lived in Winter Haven, Florida. And he took a job up north. They decided to move up north. Well, we had talked to him several times, visited with him, had supper with him about the Lord. And the man had come to a saving knowledge of Christ, but the woman had not. And I said, God, they can't move. Now I'm not through with her. I mean, I just protested. And they just packed their bags, packed their truck, took off up north. And then it dawned on me. It says, pray for laborers. Scripture says, pray for laborers.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, don't pray, Lord, save them.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time spinning your wheels in the mud. He already did save them. They don't know it. The problem is not that they need to be saved. They need to know that Jesus died. They need to know he's resurrected. They need to know that the plan is for them. They need to know he's not counting up wrongs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't pray, Lord, save them. Send them a laborer to tell them that God did save them.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I did. I just prayed in English. I said, Lord, send a laborer to her. Someone who knows the truth, someone who knows the plan of salvation, someone who believes in the love of God and knows for by grace are you saved. Send that person to her. And 3 or 4 houses right down the street from her, somebody became her friend, brought her a Bible, led her to the Lord. She comes back to this area and she calls me on the phone. She says, can you pick me up? I don't have a car. She said, I want to tell you something. Pick me up for lunch. So I went by her mother's and picked her up for lunch, and she just wanted to tell me she got saved. Now, I'm telling you, once I prayed in English, I didn't pray in other tongues. I didn't agonize. I didn't travail. That was the end of it. And sometimes that's the case.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's enough.
That's right.
It was just enough. God said, all I need from you, Becky, is just that labor moving.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I got her moving and she got saved.
Amen.
But sometimes that's not enough.
That's right.
It's just not enough.
Uh-huh.
You pray about something, whether it's somebody's sick, somebody's lost. See, intercession is praying for the need of another. It's praying for Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And you pray in English, you pray the scripture, and it's not enough. Your heart's not appeased. It's not satisfied.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you pray for somebody to be saved, you got to have the right word, the right place, the right time. It's a really big deal. You might have the right word the wrong time. I know you've done that. I have. You might have the right time, the wrong word. You say, oh boy, I wish I hadn't said that. Some things have to come together. You know, it's like a vast orchestra. All the orchestra has their part to play. And if you have a new orchestra leader, and you have a new conductor, and some new players, the violins are here. Well, violins are usually over here. And some brass is over here, drums back there. And the drums can't sit over here in the violin section. The violin can't sit over here with the brass. Everybody's got to be in their place, and then they got to be on the right piece of music. You can't be playing a concerto, and I'm playing Brahms' lullaby. And we all got to be on the same piece of music here. So this conductor's got to put some things together. And God's looking out across the world. See, he knows all pain. He loves them. He loves them. He died for them. He knows their pain. He knows their agony. And he's looking across the world. And then he sees, okay, it's right. It's right there. Right there. That person right there. And because I'm his body, I begin to sense in the spirit what God knows. I begin to sense his timing. I begin to sense the labor going forth. And I say in English what I know to say in English. And then if I'm not appeased, if my heart's not satisfied, I know God wants me to do more than that. Oh, thank God for intercessory prayer. Thank God we can cooperate with heaven. Thank God we can join hands with Almighty God and do the work of God.
That's right.
Now, intercession is praying for another. It's praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. It's praying for Israel who were wayward and left the way of God.
Yeah.
And it's praying by unction of the Spirit, beginning with the Word. The Word says, declare thou. And I begin to declare the Word
yes.
on their behalf.
Yes. Yes.
And then I searched my heart. That was enough. Not one enough. See, you know God. He dwells in you.
Uh-huh.
You know Him. So I began to pray in other tongues. I may play short, I may play long, I may pray loud, I may pray soft. People get hung up on logistics. One lady said, I can't pray loud like y'all do. I said, can you pray soft? She said, yes. I said, that'll work, do that.
Yeah.
I mean, please, 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 please. Just do it. Just do it. Oh, how great our God is to us.
Yes.
I pray in the Spirit until now my heart's satisfied. It's like eating a big meal. You know, it's more than enough. I've had more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's the God of all plenty.
Yes.
And He says there's a sensing in me, and that's plenty of prayer.
Uh-huh.
You can quit. Now that's plenty.
Uh-huh.
And you know that. You know that just as well as you know when you've had plenty to eat.
That's yeah. right.
But you know, sometimes I pray in English. I claim the promises of God. I intercede. I'm praying for Sodom. I'm praying for Gomorrah. I don't care if they don't want to be saved. I don't care if they don't want to come to be God. I don't care how ridiculous, obnoxious they're being. Said, you don't know my son. You don't know my daughter. You don't know my God.
Yeah.
Don't put doubt in the formula. Put faith. God's more than enough. He's great big.
Yeah.
Oh, He's so big to reach them. So big to reach them. And once I pray and once I've done what I know to do, I stand in faith and I just say, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. No use running that train over that track over and over and over again, saying the same things. I say, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God you're working. Thank God you've heard our prayer. Thank God you're meeting brother so-and-so's need. Thank God you're bringing this person into the kingdom.
Yeah.
But if I pray in English, I pray in other tongues, my heart's not happy. There's a sensing of something. There's a groaning. And Romans chapter 8 talks about the groaning. Let's read that verse. Look at Romans chapter 8. Oh, what a wonderful verse of scripture. Wonderful, wonderful verse. Verse 26, you know this verse. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. You know what the chief infirmity of the church is? It's ignorance. And Jesus said, oh, fools and dull of heart to perceive.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I know that's how He deals with me. He says, Becky, 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 pay attention to me. Don't be so dull of heart to perceive
yes.
here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That's why He sends the Holy Ghost to help us.
Oh,
thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the help of the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes I don't know, and sometimes I sort of know, I almost know, I'm trying to know, but He can't get it through to me. He said, the Holy Ghost will help you. Oh, the Holy Ghost will help you as you pray. The Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. The Holy Ghost will tell you where to stand. The Holy Ghost will meet the Lord's demand. And I just yield to Him. I just yield to Him. And I'm praying away in other tongues, and suddenly there's a groaning, a moaning. The Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. It doesn't say we don't know to pray. It says we don't know how to pray as we ought. It says we're not as smart in prayer. We don't know as much about prayer. We don't know as much about needs as we should know. Well, some things you couldn't possibly know. They were none of your business to start with.
That's exactly right. That's right.
So how could you know?
Exactly.
Then it says the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there. Oh, I've been there a time or two where your heart just said, oh, and you just couldn't get past that.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So that doesn't sound like prayer to me. It does to God. See, it may just take the English, just words. Just send out your labor, check your heart. That's it. That's all I needed. Send out your labor. We better pray in the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Pray in the Spirit. And there comes by divine unction. You're not groaning because somebody else is groaning. You're not groaning and moaning because it's the thing to do. You're groaning and moaning because the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you.
Yes.
Years ago, we were asked to visit a lady dying of cancer. One day, Wayne and I were working at the house. And I had this groaning in my heart. And I knew it was her. And I stepped over into the Spirit to a degree. See, this is not always necessary. You have to follow the Spirit. You're going to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah. You're going to plead the case of another, just like an attorney pleads your case at law.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You know, we knew a family had four girls. Their girls, I think their baby was 9 or 10 when she got pregnant again. They thought they had had their family, and this time she's carrying a little boy. And so we had supper with them. Little boy's about 2 years old, and I laughed and laughed. I'd never seen a kid with five mothers before. And any time he did something, one time the father was going to punish him. One of the little girls stepped up and said, "Now, Daddy, don't punish him like that. He won't do it again. He won't do it again. I promise you, I'll watch him, Daddy. I'll watch him, watch him. He won't do it again. Please don't punish him." She's interceding for him. Yeah. She's pleading his case. Yeah. She's standing in the gap. Yeah. So you're going to stand in the gap.
Jesus.
You're going to stand by the Spirit. You're going to follow the Holy Ghost. You're connected to the head of the church. It says we are members of his flesh and of his bones. And your flesh and bones know what's in your head.
Yes.
And your head knows what's in your flesh and bones. And we're going to work together. We're laborers together with God.
Amen.
And it begins with words of scripture. And then go on to other tongues. Pray until you're satisfied. And then if there comes a groaning, if there comes a moaning in the spirit, do that. Now, I do that some, but not too much in a group setting. You have to have a level of maturity where people are not thrown a curve by that. See, God will use you.
Yes.
If you'll just, and if you're going to do something weird, do it at home. You need to do your weird things at home until you're real, real, real certain that the weird thing you're doing is Almighty God and this is a place for it.
Yeah.
And if this is a place for it, pastor's going to know that. You need to be certain pastor knows that what this weird thing you're doing is God.
Jesus.
We had a friend whose child died. And I began to pray that day. I just began to pray because it's traumatic. You lose a child, it's an awful thing.
Yes,
an awful thing. And so I thought I'll just spend a few minutes praying for her. And I'm praying. I prayed in English that the Lord would comfort her and said, "You are the God of all comfort." I began with the scripture. It says, "Holy Ghost, you're the great paraclete, the one who comforts, the one who stands alongside to help her. And I know you're standing along her side to help her today." That wasn't enough. It just didn't appease my heart. It's a good place to start, but wasn't enough. Sometimes it's enough, but wasn't enough that day. And I began to pray in the Spirit. I never will forget it. Wayne came in. He could see I'm in distress. He came in to help me pray. And without thinking, I grabbed him by the collar and I said, "Bring me my baby." And he just went right on. It's only happened a few times. I'm not talking about something happens every day. I'm not talking about something happens every year. See, there are degrees of intercession. There are degrees of standing in the gap for another. See, and the Lord allowed us to step in further than we usually do. Why? He loved her.
Yes.
He loved her. God so loved the world. Those people that are lost, God loves them. He wants you to stand on their behalf. He wants you to exercise your faith. I read a testimony of a great evangelist, a marvelously used man, a man with very little education, but was just used. Everybody wanted him. He came to a church. I mean, people got saved. And they asked him, "How do you do that?" He said, "I don't allow any doubt." He said, "If I had a doubt, I'd rebuke it." He said, "Scripture says to have confidence in God." And he says, "I go in confidence." He says, "It's not the way I pray." He says, "It's not the amount of time I pray. It's not the scripture I read." He says, "When I go, I say, 'Lord, I know they're going to respond.
Yep.
I know they're going to understand. I know they're going to come." And he said, "I go in confidence. I go full of God, full of confidence. And when I give that altar call, I stand back and I say, 'Okay, here they come.'"
Hallelujah.
And you know what we do? I pray and say, "He'll never turn to God." This is his 10th year. He's addicted up to his eyeballs. Can't get him to any program that'll help him. Don't know what we'll ever do. And then I say, "Lord, save him. Lord, save him." Double-minded man's unstable. You can't pray two ways. You can't pray one way and speak another. Get in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Once you've prayed in the Spirit, you've prayed the Word of God. You've prayed in the Spirit. And you've yielded to any groanings, if there are any groanings. And sometimes I want to say again, sometimes there is. And usually there's not. But if there is, you yield to those. You've done your part. And every time you think about that, you say, "Thank God he's coming. Thank God he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I'm so glad he's coming. I'm so glad he's coming. I'm so glad he's coming to God. I'm so glad you've heard a prayer. I'm so glad you answer prayer." And I spend my time in joy, not in doubt,
That's right.
But in joy. Said, what if this year he doesn't come? I just keep at it. You know, if you're adding your checkbook and it doesn't come out with the right conclusion, you don't throw the checkbook in the garbage and say, I'm through with checkbooks. This one's not right. I mean, yeah, sometimes I have to leave it that day and say, I'll come back and do this tomorrow. Something's wrong here. One day I put my deposit in two spots and spent it twice. Oh, see, that was wrong. There are all kinds of prayer. There are all kinds of prayer. There's some things you can do that are not edifying, that will not help, that will not be beneficial. And one thing that's not of God is doubt.
Right.
Don't doubt your praying.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Don't doubt the hand of God moving through you.
Amen.
When I kneel at this altar and I've said and I've yielded, then I rise in rejoicing. And it says, those that go out in sorrow will return again with joy.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And if it doesn't come in 2004, it'll come in 2005, it'll come in 2006, it'll come in 2007, but it'll come. I tell you, one day they called me and they said, you need to visit Brother So-and-so. He's very, very ill and not expected to live. He wants to talk to you. So I took Wayne, we went. And I said, what kind of church were you raised in? Were you raised in church? He said, well, I was raised in a Pentecostal church. He said, I've always been a Pentecostal church. And I said, all of those years you were in Pentecostal church? He said, yes. And I said, you don't speak in tongues. See, God loves them. God knows, He knows, He knows, He knows, He knows. And if you listen to Him, some of what He knows, He's going to tell you. He's going to tell you so you can do something about it, not so you can be a blabbermouth.
That's right.
Once you leave this altar of prayer, anything you know from heaven should be between you and God and you and God alone, unless He says, go tell that to Pastor. It's not public information.
Right.
It's prayer information.
That's right.
And one thing the prayer chain does not do is gossip.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to lay my hands on you. You're going to speak in other tongues. He said, you think so? I said, I know so. See, because God's gracious. He wasn't fully in faith. But it's God's going to ride on my faith and do what needs to be done. Sometimes He'll do that.
Uh-huh.
And I put my hand on him. He started speaking in tongues. You don't tell me God's not more than enough. Oh, He's great big.
Yeah.
And if He can just get us to do His work, if He can just get us to bow our knee, if He can just get us to yield. So many times I said, Lord, I need $114.12. And Suzanne needs $16.32. And the dog is not doing too well, Father. And God's interested in all of those things, all of those things. But sometimes we're so self-absorbed that we can't do the work of God.
That's right.
Oh, we got to forget about ourselves. Concentrate on them.
Right.
That's what the intercession is. It's concentrating on them, on their need. Forget about ourselves and concentrate on them. That's the world. You remember, there are different kinds of prayer. Intercessory is only one kind of prayer. But intercessory prayer is my concern for another. And my praying for another is not affected by what they're doing, what they're thinking. It's only affected by my faith in God.